Captain's log, stardate 44429.6. We're on a mapping survey near the Cardassian sector. It has been nearly a year since a peace treaty ended the long conflict between the Federation and Cardassia.
Captain, we are nearing the periphery of Sector 21503.
Be on the lookout for a Cardassian patrol ship, Mr. Worf. They should be hailing us soon.
Even with the treaty, they're still skittish about protecting their border.
Last time I was in this sector, I was on the Stargazer running at warp speed ahead of a Cardassian warship.
Running, Captain? You? That's hard to believe.
Believe it. I've been sent to make preliminary overtures to a truce, and I've lowered my shields as a gesture of goodwill. The Cardassians were not impressed. They had taken out most of my weapons and damaged the impulse engines before I could regroup and run.
The Cardassians have no honor. I do not trust them.
They're our allies now, Mr. Worf. We have to trust them.
Trust is earned, not given away.
The others smile at each other.
I hope their scout ship makes contact soon. It's not a good idea to stay too long on a Cardassian border without making your intentions known.
In his quarters, Miles pushes food around on his plate, looking at it uncertainly.
What is it?
Kelp buds, plankton loaf, and sea berries.
Sweetheart, I'm not a fish.
It's very healthy. I had this every morning when I was growing up.
What? No muffins or oatmeal or corned beef and eggs?
For breakfast?
Keiko, I've been thinking. You've been introducing me to all this wonderful food that you're accustomed to. But I'd like to do the same. Isn't that what marriage is about? Sharing?
What kind of foods?
Scallop potatoes, mutton shanks, oxtails and cabbage.
Kind of heavy.
Oh, you'll love it, I promise. Oh, I can still remember the aromas when my mother was cooking.
She cooked?
Oh, she didn't believe in a replicator. She thought real food was more nutritious.
She handled real meat? She touched it and cut it?
Yeah, like a master chef. She was fantastic. Of course, I'll have to use the replicator. I'll make something special for you tonight. You'll love it, I promise.
Okay. Maybe I'll have something special for you tonight, too. Oh.
Something's wrong.
Red alert. Take emergency stations.
Cardassian ship preparing to fire again, sir.
Increase power to the forward shields. Hail them again, Mr. Worf.
What the hell is he doing? Damage report.
Minor damage to secondary hull before we put up our shields, sir. No casualties. Structural integrity intact.
Engineering to bridge. Starboard power coupling is down.
Evasive action, Delta sequence, ready phases, Mr. Worf.
Delta evasion plan initiated.
Limit targets to engines and shields.
Aye, sir. Ready.
Fire.
Direct hit, sir. Moderate damage to their aft shield generators.
Continue phaser fire.
Multiple hits, sir. Power failure in their forward shields.
The Cardassian ship is standing down, sir.
Let's see if they'll answer our hail now, Mr. Worf.
Frequency open.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Federation Starship Enterprise.
I am Galmus Set of the Cardassian ship Traeger.
Why have you fired on us?
Curious question, Captain. In war, one attacks one's enemies.
There is a treaty between our peoples.
Perhaps that fact was unknown to the Federation starship which destroyed our space station in the Quasar system 2 days ago.
Federation starship?
Attacked an unarmed science station. They had barely enough time to send an emergency signal before they were incinerated.
Galmus Set, the Federation and the Cardassians have struggled too hard for peace. To abandon it so easily.
We are not the ones who have abandoned it, Captain.
Let me talk to my superiors, find out what is behind this. Give me 1 hour. The alternative is for us to continue firing at one another. And in such a contest, you would be at a disadvantage.
Very well. 1 hour.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled The Wounded, voiced by Marston York. The Federation's... of the unknown. Streaming flat planes of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starfleet's finest captains. He must have had provocation.
I wish we knew. He's gone on silent running. Doesn't answer our communiques.
Then he's still in Cardassian space.
The station he destroyed was in Sector 21505. You're the nearest starship. We want you to go in and find him.
Will the Cardassians cooperate?
They've granted you safe passage. We've agreed that you'll take along a delegation of observers as a show of good faith. Jean-Luc, I don't have to tell you, the Federation is not prepared for a new sustained conflict. You must preserve the peace, no matter what the cost. Aiden out.
As the two craft hold position facing each other, Picard calls an impromptu briefing on the bridge.
There will be 3 Cardassians transporting aboard. Their captain, Galmasset, and 2 of his aides. My intention is to be as open as possible with them. Allow them to share in our search for the Phoenix.
Captain, it is necessary to assign them a security detail.
They're our guests, Mr. Worf. I don't want them to feel like prisoners.
I tend to agree with Mr. Worf, Captain. I think we should limit their access while they're on board. I don't think they need to have the run of the ship.
At least allow me to post guards in some of the sensitive areas of the ship.
Very well. Let's limit their access. But you instruct your people. They are our guests.
Aye, sir.
Counselor, I want you to stay as close to the crew as possible. Some of them may feel uncomfortable with Cardassians on board. I don't want any incidents.
Yes, Captain.
Mr. Data, is there anyone else on board who served previously with Captain Benjamin Maxwell?
Accessing. Chief O'Brien served under his command aboard the Rutledge, sir.
Indeed. Number one, will you and the counselor meet our guest in Transporter Room 3 and inform Chief O'Brien I will be calling on him?
Yes, sir.
Riker nods and turns away with Troy. 3 figures materialize in the transport bay. Riker.
Welcome to the Enterprise. I'm First Officer William Riker. Counselor, Deanna Troy.
I am Galmasset. My aides, Glenn Darrow, Glenn Teller.
This is our transporter chief, Mr. O'Brien.
O'Brien nods, scowling.
shall we?
Riker leads and the Cardassians file out behind him. Troi stops in the door, who stares to the Cardassians. Realizing she is watching, O'Brien, embarrassed, turns back to his console.
Captain's log supplemental. We have entered Cardassian territory and are proceeding on our quest to locate the Phoenix.
And with long-range sensors, we've been scanning a radius of 10 light years.
We can effectively scan one sector a day.
We're scanning Sector 21505 now, and there's still no sign of the Phoenix.
In fact, you have no assurance that the ship is still in Sector 21505.
In fact, we have no idea where it is. We thought the last known coordinates were a reasonably good place to start.
Captain Picard, you can understand that we are skeptical. Do you expect us to believe that you are using every means at your disposal to track down one of your own?
Well, of course you are concerned, Galmaset. It is precisely because of that fact that I've included you in every aspect of our effort. You're present with my staff. You're hearing reports as I hear them. Nothing edited, nothing withheld.
Very well.
Transporter Chief O'Brien served with Benjamin Maxwell. I thought that he might be able to provide some insights. Mr. O'Brien, I understand that Captain Maxwell lost his family during a raid on an outpost.
More like sabotage, sir. It was on Setlik 3. A squad of Cardassian militia made a sneak raid on an outpost. Wiped out close to 100 civilians.
Then it's revenge he's after.
That's not what I meant.
Maxwell is taking retribution for his own loss.
Captain Maxwell would never...
Gentlemen, please, let's not indulge in speculation. Can we confine our discussion to the facts? Now, Mr. O'Brien.
Worf to Captain Picard.
Go ahead, Mr. Worf.
Long-range sensors have located the Phoenix.
Galmaset, will you join me on the bridge?
Picard, Riker, and Geordi head towards the bridge. Galmaset nods to his attendants and follows. O'Brien exits via another door and the two attendants join him in the turbo lift. O'Brien avoids their gaze.
Deck 6.
Deck 10.
The two Cardassians stare at O'Brien, who glances nervously with a look of disgust from their faces to the floor.
Your captain is most impressive.
Yes, he is.
Chief O'Brien, our transporting system is still operating with active feed pattern buffers. I would like to talk with you about your technology.
I'll have to get Commander LaForge's approval on that.
I understand. In the meantime, we're going to your 10 forward. Will you join us?
If my commander tells me to discuss the transporter with you, I will. If Captain Picard orders me to tell you everything I know about Ben Maxwell, I will. But who I choose to spend my free time with, that's my business.
O'Brien pushes past them and strides out of the turbo lift. The two Cardassians watch him leave and turn to each other with shared concern. On the bridge, Picard stands behind Data's chair at the operations console.
Captain, the Phoenix is in Sector 21505.
Ensign? Set a course, warp 6. Mr. Worf, send a message by subspace. Tell them to prepare for a rendezvous.
Yes, Captain.
Captain, a suggestion?
Yes.
We have a number of ships in Sector 21505. If you will give us more precise coordinates and the ship's coded transponder frequency, we would be able to intercept Maxwell far more quickly than you.
I'm sure that's true. However, given the circumstances, I would prefer to make the initial contact myself. I'm sure you would if the situation were reversed.
Captain, time is crucial. You have a dangerous man out there with a huge arsenal at his command. If he is intent upon revenge against my people, he must be stopped before he can do more damage.
Captain, so far we have an isolated incident. If I can reach him first, then perhaps diplomacy can prevail. But if one of your ships should decide to retaliate, there is a danger we could lose control of the situation.
Then you will not give us the means to find his precise location?
No, I won't.
Picard turns away and Gul-Moset glares after him. In his quarters, Miles O'Brien takes the lid off a glass dish.
There you are. Potato casserole. A dish fit for kings. The minstrel boy to the
wall. What's that you're singing?
What? Oh, it's just an old song. A bunch of us used to sing it together on the Rutledge. I hadn't thought about it in years.
What's it about?
Oh, it's about war and glory. The minstrel boy to the war is gone. In the ranks of death you will find him. His father's sword he hath girded on, and his wild harp slung behind him. Captain Maxwell always liked that song. I guess it's all this business about him and the Cardassians brought it back to me. You know, sitting with the staff this morning, I could tell there were people in that room who still don't like the Cardassians.
I imagine that's to be expected.
You do?
Sure, the war lasted a long time. That takes its toll on people. What are these little dark things?
Capers. But the fighting's over now. Why should anyone still feel however they feel?
You fought the Cardassians, didn't you?
Well, there were some skirmishes when I was with Captain Maxwell.
Well, how do you feel about them?
Me? I feel fine. I mean, the war's over now.
Keiko half smiles in comprehension, staring unerringly into his eyes. On the bridge, Picard watches the viewing screen.
The pursuing ship is the Phoenix.
And the other? It appears to be a Cardassian supply ship. How would you know that?
We are able to make that determination.
You can read our transponder codes.
The important thing at the moment is that one of your ships may be in jeopardy. Mr. Worf, has there been any answer to our communication?
No, Captain.
Put out a repeating message in all subspace channels. Priority one communique. Break off your pursuit immediately.
Aye, sir.
Officer, you see, we are doing everything in our power to reach the Phoenix.
Yes, and accomplishing nothing, I'm sorry to say. Can you show me the location of our other ships?
Mr. Data.
There you see, we have a warship which could intercept the Phoenix before it's too late. If you will give us the transponder frequency. Or are you going to stand there while our ship is destroyed, Captain?
A heavy shadow crosses Picard's eyes and he turns to Riker, who watches him closely. Slowly, Picard walks away.
Mr. Worf, has there been any response to our hails?
No, Captain.
Riker swallows hard, watching anxiously.
Very well. Mr. Worf. Relay the prefix codes of the Phoenix to the Cardassian warship.
Sir, they will be able to dismantle its shields. The Phoenix will not have a chance.
Cannot allow Maxwell to ambush that supply ship. Mr. Worf, now.
Yes, Captain.
Picard watches the viewing screen, which is split into grid references showing the positions of the freighter, the Phoenix, and the Cardassian vessel. His face is grim and anxious.
Sir, the Cardassian warship is moving on the Phoenix.
Mr. Data, overlay weapon ranges of the two ships.
The warship is 300,000 kilometers from the Phoenix. It is opening fire. The Phoenix has taken a direct hit. The Phoenix is beginning evasive maneuvers. It has positioned itself outside the weapons range of the opposing ship. The Phoenix has powered up both phasers and photon torpedoes. The Phoenix is firing photon torpedoes.
He has destroyed our warship.
Does the supply ship have any weapons?
They're limited. Certainly not enough to defeat a Nebula-class starship.
Sir, the Phoenix is firing on the...
warship carried a crew of 600. The supply ship, 50.
Mr. Data, estimated time to intercept with the Phoenix.
At our present speed of warp 4, 16 hours, 44 minutes.
Ensign, increase to warp 9.
The Phoenix is alone as a dot on the screen. Gulmoset looks hard at the captain before walking sadly up the sloping bridge deck to the turbo lift. Picard looks at Riker, but neither says a word as the Cardassian leader leaves. Chief O'Brien works at a systems array in the transporter room as Picard enters.
Captain.
Chief, I wanted to talk to you.
Anything I can do, sir, you know that.
Ben Maxwell. He must be quite a man.
He's a rare one, all right. I count myself lucky, sir. I've served with the two finest captains in Starfleet.
From your knowledge of the man, what has gone wrong?
Well, there's a reason for what he's doing. Those Cardassians were up to something, I'm sure of it.
When his family was killed, how did he take it?
I'd say he took it well. Oh, I know he was broken up inside. Who wouldn't be? But you'd never know it to see him. He never missed a minute's duty. Always had a smile, a joke.
I see.
He would never retaliate out of vengeance, no matter what that Cardassian says. They're up to something, sir. They're the ones you should be investigating, not Captain Maxwell.
You don't care for the Cardassians?
I like them fine. It's just, well, I know them. You learn to watch your back when you're around those people.
Ben Maxwell has just sent more than 600 of them to their deaths.
I don't know what to say, sir. But he must have had his reasons.
I think when one has been angry for a very long time, one gets used to it. Then it becomes comfortable, like old leather. And finally, I'm so familiar that one can't ever remember feeling any other way. Thank you, Chief.
Picard turns thoughtfully and walks out, leaving O'Brien alone and troubled. Later, O'Brien sits alone at the counter in the bar in 10 Forward. As a waiter takes a tray of drinks from the bartender, one of the Cardassians enters. Seeing O'Brien at the counter, he looks nervously around before sitting down a few seats away. As he does so, O'Brien looks up and away again.
K-9?
They look at each other briefly.
Mind if I join you? You want another? And an ale.
K-9. I never could develop a taste for it.
Takes a bit of getting used to.
I wanted to say I owe you an apology. I shouldn't have popped off like that in the turbo lift.
I think...
Here's your ale, Mr. O'Brien.
This has been hard on all of us. I know I'll be happy when I'm back on my own ship.
I guess that's true. I hadn't thought about that. I was on Setlik 3. With Captain Maxwell the morning after the massacre. We were too late, of course. Almost everyone was dead.
It was a terrible mistake. We were told the outpost was a launching place for a massive attack against us.
The only people left alive were in an outlying district of the settlement. I was sent there with a squad to reinforce them. Cardassians were advancing on us, moving through the streets, destroying, killing. I was with a group of women and children when two Cardassian soldiers burst in. I stunned one of them. The other one jumped me. We struggled. One of the women threw me a phaser, and I fired. The phaser was set at maximum. The man just
just incinerated there before my eyes. I'd never killed anything before. When I was a kid, I'd worry about swatting a mosquito. It's not you I hate, Cardassian. I hate what I became because of you.
O'Brien puts down his empty glass, his eyes blazing angrily, and strides out, leaving the Cardassian to his K'Naar.
I will protest this, Klingon.
Lieutenant? He was found at a computer station on Deck 35, attempting to access information on our weapon systems.
A lie, Golmaset. I was studying the terminal interface systems. They're more efficient than ours. I have no idea what was in the files.
What business did you have going near one of their computers?
But Golmaset, I meant nothing. There was no harm done.
Go to your quarters. You are confined there for the duration of this expedition.
As you wish, sir.
Mr. Worf, please accompany.
Gladly, Captain.
A harsh but calm, knowing look passes between Golmaset and his subordinate before Worf leads him back into the turbo lift.
Captain, may we speak in private?
You have the bridge, number one.
Picard walks slowly to his ready room. As he enters, Golmaset joins him.
I deeply regret what my aide has done, Captain. You have my word, he will be disciplined upon my return.
You may take whatever action against him you feel is appropriate. I consider the matter closed.
I'm not sure I would be so generous in your place, Captain. Thank you.
If there is to be a lasting peace, Golmaset, neither you nor I must allow any one man to undermine our efforts.
The Cardassian nods as a knowing smile of agreement flickers on his face. He watches the captain for a moment before turning to face a painting of the Enterprise on the wall.
There are those who crave war, who need it. I am not one of them, Captain. And I'm beginning to see that neither are you. We have had our full measure. The lasting peace begins here, with the two of us.
Bridge to Captain.
Picard here.
We have located the Phoenix, sir. We will intercept it in 22 minutes.
Slowly, Golmaset turns towards Picard and they nod to each other.
Captain's log, stardate 44431.7. We have established communication with Captain Maxwell and he has agreed to come on board.
Welcome aboard, sir. I'm Commander Riker, First Officer.
I know all about you, Commander. Fine work you did with the Borg. We all owe you on that one.
Thank you, sir.
O'Brien? Miles O'Brien?
Hello, Captain. Good to see you again.
How are you? I had no idea you were on the Enterprise. This was my tactical officer on the Rutledge. Best I ever had.
Thank you, sir.
O'Brien has the ability to size up a situation instantly and come up with options to fit all contingencies. Remarkable.
Well, if that's true, I learned it from you, sir.
But you got that silver tongue by kissing the stone, right? Well, Commander, best I see your captain straight away. We got a lot to talk about.
Yes, sir.
As Riker ushers him out, Captain Maxwell winks knowingly at O'Brien and exits the transporter room. As the door closes, O'Brien remains staring at where Maxwell had been, amused and confused. Riker shows Maxwell into Picard's ready room.
Captain Jean-Luc Picard. Captain Benjamin Maxwell.
That'll be all, Commander. Captain.
A pleasure, Captain.
Please sit down.
You must think I've gone mad.
Thought had occurred.
Picard, I have to tell you, I was grateful when I realized it was you Starfleet had sent after me. Someone who knows what it's really like out here.
I know of nothing out here that could possibly justify what you have done.
And listen to this. The Cardassians are arming again. That so-called science station? Military supply port.
How do you know this?
Information comes my way.
From whom? Where is your documentation?
I know what they're doing. I can smell it. There's no good reason for a science station in the Quasar system. But it's a hell of a strategic site for a military transport station. A jumping-off point into three Federation sectors. They're running supply ships back and forth, and nobody's gonna tell me it's for scientific research.
But whatever circumstances you encountered, why didn't you notify Starfleet?
Wait 6 months while the bureaucrats sit around reading reports trying to figure out what to do? They don't know what's going on out here. But you should, Picard. You know what it's like to be under fire.
You weren't under fire.
Lives were at stake.
Whose lives?
We had to act now.
Why?
It smells musty in here. Like a bureaucrat's office.
You have killed nearly 700 people. And you have taken us to the brink of war.
I have prevented war. Or at the very least, delayed it a good long time. Peace treaty was a ruse to give them breathing room, time to regroup.
And so all alone, you decided to dispose of the treaty.
I took the initiative. I did what had to be done.
What had to be done? For whom? Why would a man with a long and brilliant service abandon the fundamental principles that he has believed in, even fought for, all of his life? Well, I believe it is because of what they did to your wife and your children.
Not true. Not true.
To avenge their deaths.
You're a fool, Picard. History will look at you and say, this man was a fool.
I'll accept the judgment of history.
When it becomes clear what the Cardassians have done, I will be vindicated.
What the Cardassians have or have not done is irrelevant.
Irrelevant? And come with me. Find one of their supply ships, and we'll see how irrelevant it is.
We're not going after any more Cardassian ships. You're going to return to your bridge. And set a course for Starbase 211. The Phoenix and the Enterprise will return to Federation space together. Those are Starfleet's orders. I will permit you the dignity of retaining your command during the voyage. But the only alternative is to put you in the brig and to tow your ship back to the Starbase in disgrace.
Maxwell stares ahead in sad surprise. Swallowing hard, he struggles to maintain his composure.
I will return to my ship.
I understand your orders.
Yes, Captain.
Mr. Worf, report to my ready room. My guest is departing.
Aye, sir.
Picard turns away, clasping his hands behind his back and staring out of the window.
Captain's log supplemental. With the Phoenix in close formation, we are proceeding directly to Starbase 211.
Mr. Data, how long until we clear Cardassian space?
At our present speed, 3 hours, 20 minutes, sir.
Mr. Worf, send a message to Admiral Hayden at Starfleet. Inform him of our projected time of arrival.
Aye, sir.
Captain, the Phoenix has changed course.
The Nebula-class cruiser suddenly veers to the right.
What is he doing?
Ensign, change course to pursue. Mr. Worf, will you hail Captain Maxwell?
No response, Captain.
Data, project his new course.
The Phoenix is headed directly for a Cardassian vessel, 0.12 light years from our location.
He'll attack that ship just as he did the others.
Continue the hail, Mr. Worf. Priority one message. Do you know what that ship might be?
I imagine it's a supply ship headed for the research station in the Kelrabi system.
The Phoenix still does not respond, sir.
Ensign Warbait, overtaking.
Captain, the Phoenix has accelerated to warp 9. We will not be able to reach him before he intercepts the Cardassian vessel.
Ensign warp 9.
Aye, sir.
Mr. Worf, arm phases. Continue the hail.
Aye, sir.
Captain Chief O'Brien was Maxwell's tactical officer. Get him up here.
O'Brien steps onto the bridge.
Sir, the Phoenix has dropped out of warp. They have reached the Cardassian vessel.
Slow to impulse.
Vessels are within visual range.
On screen.
Has the Phoenix activated its weapon systems?
Negative, sir. Their phaser banks are not armed.
What about the Cardassians?
Sensors are unable to determine the status of the Cardassian defensive systems. Their ship is running with a high-powered subspace field.
Riker and Picard look at each other in surprise, and the captain stands.
Mr. O'Brien, your former commander, Federation captain, is about to place me in the position of firing on his ship. I need your knowledge of the man, how he thinks, what he's capable of doing.
Aye, sir.
Sir, Captain Maxwell is hailing us.
On screen.
All right, Picard. You need proof? You got it now.
Captain Maxwell, you have disobeyed a direct order.
Board the ship. You'll see that everything I've been saying is true.
The Cardassian vessel will not be boarded. You will transport yourself aboard the Enterprise.
Picard, if you don't board that ship, I'll destroy it.
And I will use whatever force is necessary to prevent you from taking that action, Captain.
Sir, Captain Maxwell, if he feels his back is against the wall, he'll strike.
Captain, the Phoenix is transferring power to its shields.
They're arming phasers and loading forward torpedo bays.
Ready, lad? Seems you were right, Mr. O'Brien. Ready, phasers, load torpedoes.
Phasers armed. Loading forward and aft torpedo bays.
Sir, let me beam over. Try to talk to him. We served together a long time. When you've been through what we have, you tend to get inside someone. He might listen.
He'd never lower his shields and allow you to transport on board.
The Phoenix is using a high-energy sensor system. It cycles every 5.5 minutes. Between cycles, there's a window of a 50th of a second. Trust me, I can get through.
Make it so.
Not now.
Captain Maxwell sees O'Brien in the doorway and grabs his phaser as the transporter chief enters.
I'm not armed.
How the devil did you get over here?
I had the thought that if we could talk, we could figure a way out of this mess.
The way out of this is clear. Talk to Picard. Get him to board the damn ship.
He won't do that, sir.
But he turned his weapons on a Federation starship to protect the enemy? I don't believe it.
He will. Count on it.
What the hell has happened to this war?
Sir, there is no war. The war is over.
You're wrong. The Cardassians live to make war.
That's what everybody thinks about the enemy. That's probably what they think about us.
We're not the same at all. We do not start wars. We do not make surprise attacks on manned outposts. We do not butcher women and children in their homes. Children who never had the chance to grow up.
You were with me on Setlick.
You saw what they did.
Yes, sir.
What was the name of that fellow who always hung around you like a puppy?
Will Caden. Stumpy.
Stumpy! It's cool under fire, the mountain lake.
Yes, sir.
He died at Sadler, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
What was that song of his? One he always sang, one I liked.
The minstrel boy to the war has gone. In the ranks of death you will find him. His father's sword he hath girded on, and his wild harp slung behind him. Land of song, said the warrior bard, though all the world betrays thee, one sword at least thy rights shall guard, one faithful harp shall praise thee.
I'm not going to win this one, am I, Chief?
No, sir.
Captain's log supplemental. Captain Maxwell has turned his ship over to his first officer and transported aboard the Enterprise. I have confined him to quarters for the return voyage.
Thank you, Chief. I'd just like to say, sir, he was a good man. What he did was terribly wrong, I know that now. But I'm still proud to have served with him.
Thank you, Chief. And well done. That'll be all.
Well, his loyalty is admirable, even if it is misplaced.
The loyalty that you would so quickly dismiss does not come easily to my people, Galmaset. You have much to learn about us. Benjamin Maxwell earned the loyalty of those who served with him. You know, in war, he was twice honored with the Federation's highest citation for courage and valor. And if he could not find a role for himself in peace, we can pity him. But we shall not dismiss him.
You are welcome to your opinion, Captain. I, for one, am grateful he is under lock and key.
One more thing, Galma said. Maxwell was right. Those ships were not carrying scientific equipment, were they? A research station within arm's reach of three Federation sectors. Cargo ships running with high-energy subspace fields that jam sensors.
If you believe the transport ship was carrying weapons, Captain, why didn't you board it as Maxwell requested?
I was here to protect the peace. A peace that I firmly believe is in the interest of both our peoples. If I had attempted to board that ship, I'm quite certain that you and I would not be having this pleasant conversation. And that ships on both sides would now be arming for war.
Captain, I assure you.
Take this message to your leaders, Galmaset. We'll be watching.
Galmaset's eyes widen in surprise, but he meets the captain's level, stern gaze. His eyes challenging Galmaset, Picard turns slowly in his chair to look out of the windows in the conference room. Galmaset strides out, leaving Picard alone, watching the stars recede into the distance as the Enterprise powers through space. The end.